Morning, brothers and sisters. Came back to Colossians. The theme of Colossians is Christ is supreme, so therefore he is sufficient for all things. So that is the theme of the epistle of Colossians. We know that Paul wrote this epistle to the church in Colossae and other churches surrounding those cities to protect the truth, that is, the false teachers, they are attacking the truth about Christ. They are saying that Christ is not enough for us. We need something else. We need to follow some rules and regulations. So Paul, even though he was in prison, he was writing this letter to protect the church. He was a good pastor to protect the church. We believe, right, most of the time that submission is most important thing. The submission is most important thing and valuable thing that Christians should follow. But sometimes submission also danger. When you are submitting in wrong place, when you are submitting to wrong people. So here Paul is explaining that church should not submit to false teachers. We should submit to Christ. We should submit to good pastors, those who are preaching the word. Most of the time, even Christians, they believe that whatever pastor says, whatever people are saying, when they are using the Bible, we need to obey them. We need to listen to them. We should not do that. We must be Bereans, right? We need to check what a preacher is saying, whether he is saying from the word, whether he is saying not from the word. Don't listen to me, even to me, if I am not saying things in the Bible, things in the word of God. But what happening in the church in Colossae, false teachers are ordering, they are teaching, they are commanding to follow some things. Especially asceticism. Asceticism is one of the false teaching in Colossae. That's what Paul is attacking. If you see chapter 2 verse 8 onwards, Paul is attacking the false teachings in Colossae. Verse 8, he attacked philosophy. We can see verse 16 to 17, it is talking about legalism. Paul talks about legalism. Then verse 18 to 19, he attacks mysticism. Then now he attacks verse 20 to 23, asceticism. He is attacking. He hits the nail. You should not obey these people. You should not listen to them. You should not follow these false teachings. He is explaining, he is helping the church that Christ is enough. Christ is enough. We no need anything else. Just follow with me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you are living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refers to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are no value against fleshly indulgence. If you see, we can see clearly that the Paul is saying don't submit to asceticism, the rules and regulations of false teachers. Look at verse 20. It says, if you have died with Christ to elementary principles of the world,
Why as if you are living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? This is talking about ascetic regulations or decrees. Paul Ward gives a hint that the ascetic decrees are connected with spiritual powers. Actually, they are imposed by them through false teachers. Look at verse 22. It says, with all refers to the things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. The source of those regulations is the spiritual powers. These decrees are connected to teachings of demons, the false teachers. They are connected with Satan. Generally, we think the work of the powers is something else. The Bible says very clearly that their work is imposing false teaching within the churches, introducing heresies, and confusing the believers with false teaching, which looks like true teaching. If you see whatever they are saying, those looks like true teaching. Their aim is to remove the truth from the eyes of the believers. They always imposes false teaching in the churches. But see, Paul commands believers not to submit to the decrees of spiritual powers by questioning them. Why do you submit yourself to decrees? That's why I said submitting to everybody is not a good thing. Submission is a good thing when you submit to the Bible. If you look at decrees, it refers to legal ordinances. The idea is these false teachers made these rules and regulation as legal ordinances. They imposed them as laws that must be followed by Christians. They made, this is the law. If you are not following these laws, these ordinances, maybe you are not Christians. You need to follow these things. You need to follow these rules and regulations. But if you see the verb submitting, means submitting to decrees means to put under obligation by rules and ordinances. This is passive tense. So idea is permitting yourselves to be put under things decreed by someone else. Paul is questioning them, do you permit yourself to be put under things decreed by the false teachings, those who are instrument of spiritual powers? That's what he is asking, he is questioning. The Paul explains the decrees of spiritual powers and of false teachers in verse 21. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. That's what they are teaching, that's what they are imposing. It's like first and last words are almost synonyms. First one is do not eat. The second one is do not taste. Then decree increase. Third one is do not touch even. Do not touch even. This was even struggler Paul, right? Peter. When he meeting with Gentiles, he don't want to sit with Gentiles. He doesn't want to eat with Gentile Christians. Even though this legalism, asceticism, is both are connected somehow. The people are saying, commanding that don't eat that food, don't eat this one, don't touch that one. They are implementing their commands in the church. The Paul gives reason also why Colossians should not submit to decrees of spiritual powers. So two reasons why we must not submit to asceticism. The first reason why we must not submit to them is Christ separated us from spiritual powers. Christ separated us from spiritual powers. Look at verse 20. It says, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why as if you are living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees? Such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Paul reminded that they were united with Christ in his death. Colossians chapter 2 verse 11. Colossians have died with Christ on the cross to the elementary principles of the world. Look at the word if. If you see, it looks like it is doubtful. The Greek idea is it does not express doubt but reality. A better translation is since you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world. Look at Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. It says, Paul says that, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's what Paul is saying. Reality, we have died with Christ to the elementary principles. The idea of died is in Greek, the death, it is talking about disconnection. The death disconnects the bond which is bound them to the something else. So believers are disconnected from spiritual powers. They don't have bond with them because of Christ's cross work. When they died with Christ, the relationship has broken with spiritual powers. That's what Paul is saying. Look at these phrases, says, you have died with Christ to the elementary principles. The preposition, you see, right? To the elementary principles. In Greek idea, from the elementary principles. It is talking about separation, alienation from spiritual powers. The Christians were separated from spiritual powers because they died with Christ on the cross spiritually. In Him they were died. There is no connection between believers and spiritual powers when they died on the cross in Jesus Christ. The idea is dying with Christ is disconnected the bond that the bound believers to slavery of spiritual powers. They are no longer slaves to them. They were separated from them when they died with Christ on the cross spiritually. Believers are not under slavery of those powers, brothers and sisters. They were not controlled by them. That is the idea Paul is saying. The Christ separated you from these powers. Why do you want to submit to them again, which is connected to spiritual powers? Paul is challenging them that if you have separated from them by associating with Christ's death, why do you submit yourself to their decrees? He's explaining that Christians are not under spiritual powers. They are not over believers to order them. Even the apostate believers should not listen to them. But unfortunately, the Colossians were in danger of falling in those traps. They were in danger of voluntarily placing themselves under the regulations imposed by these false teachers. The idea is not that Colossians have already submitted, but they were returning almost. Again, going back to have relationship with them, following those rules. That is the idea. But it is true, right? For example, if you are working in one company, you work under one boss. When you working under that boss, you listen to them, whatever he says, because that is your duty. When you change your job, when you go back, you went another boss, you need to listen that boss. You won't listen your ex-boss, right? So because there is no the bonding between that master and you. You have special master, you have new master, so you need to obey his rules and regulations. That is the idea Paul is bringing. So the spiritual powers are not controlling you. There is no relationship between you and spiritual powers. So don't submit to those decrees. So that is the first reason why we should not submit to the decrees of spiritual powers. Brothers and sisters, you should not submit to decrees of men. Because you are not under those beings, but under Christ.
Amen.
False teachers are passing decrees to believers. If someone is forcing you to follow ascetic rules and regulations, you should not submit to them. Because this is from spiritual powers. This is not from Christ. You no longer have bond with them. So that is the reason when the legalistic things are the different decrees of men are imposing in the church, we should not listen to them according to food, everything. So that is the first reason why we must not submit to asceticism. The second, the reason why we should not submit to them is it is opposed to Christ teaching. It is opposed to Christ teaching. Look at verse 22 and 21. It says, such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refers to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. Look at the words. These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. What are the things we can see? Those marks are against Christ's teaching. They are against Christ's teaching. Here, four key marks of asceticism that prove they are opposed to Christ's teaching. The first key mark of asceticism that proves they are opposed to Christ's teaching is, it focuses on food and drink. It focuses on food and drink. Look at verse 22 and 21. It says, right, they are passing the decree. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Again, it says, verse 22, which all refers to things destined to perish with use. Paul is probably thinking especially of food and drink. Food will perish when we use it, right? If you make the fish thali or chicken biryani, whatever it is you are making, after eating it will finish, it will perish. The false teachers, they make food central to their teaching. So that is the mark, key mark of false teachers. They're focusing food and drinking. We know, brothers and sisters, the matter of food and drink are not more important than the godliness or righteousness, more than Christ. But these false teachers, they always teach us about food, drink, what to eat, what should not to eat. They don't focus on true godliness, but on useless things they are focused. That is the first mark of these false teachers. We know that Romans chapter 14 verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in Holy Spirit.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 13 says, food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. The Bible is saying something else about food, but these false teachers focusing so much. They are always taking very seriously about food and drink. If they are practicing, that is something else. But they are imposing those things with others. They are commanding others. These are the rules and regulations. These are the legal ordinances the church should follow. They are forcing. They are focusing. But we know that there are sometimes even Bible speaks against eating and drunkenness. So you should not think that so I can drink more wine and become a drunken person. Don't say like that. Sometimes Bible speak against those things. But the most of the times, for example, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine. Bible speaks against that. When food is offered to idols for others' sake, you should not eat. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we went through that. Even those times, If some meat is offered to idols, if somebody is selling in market, you can eat. Even God gave freedom for that. If somebody said this is offered to idols, then for his conscience sake, you should not eat. In those cases, Bible said we should not touch those food. But other time, otherwise, Bible does not speak against eating food and drinking, what to eat, what to drink. But false teachers are focusing on those things. Brothers and sisters, those who follow these regulations, they do not recognize God's goodness, God's gift. God has given all those food, right? Like fish or chicken or beef, whatever it is, for our benefit. Whenever you eat, you can recognize God's goodness. Buy one fish, 2 kilo fish, and cut it. Make good fish curry and eat it. Definitely you will praise God. What a great God you are. What a good God you are. You made this fish for my stomach. Because He is the provider. He is the sustainer. He has to provide the food for us. He is providing us. We are eating those things to sustain our life, to praise Him, to live for His glory. But these false teachers, they are saying, don't eat, don't touch, don't taste. You need to follow these rules and regulations. So this is the first mark of these false teachers. That is, they focus on food and drink much. Even we know 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 says, for everything created by God is good. Did you get that point? For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Amen. We need to give thanks to Him. We need to praise Him because of His provision. So please have it. Whatever cultural food you have, you please have it. If anybody is saying don't eat that food, don't touch that food, don't listen to them. So that is the lesson we must learn from this passage. You have to eat all food that is given by God. There is no command for you on what food you should eat or drink. Let no one pass decree again on this. But even we brothers and sisters, we judge our brothers and sisters based on their food habits, right? Even church believers. Even though you believe in Christ, even though you believe that you are saved by Christ, but sometimes you criticize, you judge others because you are eating something food. Others are eating other food. Don't criticize. It is also somehow connected to the false teachings. If you are doing, please repent of it, because you are acting as false teachers. We move on. Second key mark of asceticism that proves they are opposed to Christ's teaching is, it is invention of men. It is invention of men. Look at verse 22, part B. It says, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. Paul says that these rules and regulations are inventions of false teachers. This did not come from God. This did not come from Christ, but from man. That's why it is against Christ's teaching. See, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch are decreed in accordance with commandments and teachings of men. The idea is, even though the source of the decree is elementary principles, but the means, instruments of these powers are false teachers. They are working for spiritual powers. Paul is describing here the standard of ascetic regulations. Ascetic regulations are in the standard of commandments and teachings of men. They correspond to the commandments and teachings of men. It did not come from Christ. That is the idea. Another way to translate it is, they are according to the regulations and doctrines of men. The men created doctrines. Men created regulations without God. God did not give them that revelation. The men created those doctrines. Even God says in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, God says, "Then the Lord said, because these people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." The same verse Jesus quote, Mark chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Whatever commandments of man, they are teaching as doctrine. That's why, you know, Jesus always attacked Pharisees and scribes. They are implementing commandments, they are implementing their own laws and making this as doctrine. We need to follow these things. It has the idea, the tradition of men and commandments and doctrines of men are same. Whatever tradition of men is the commandments and doctrines of men. The idea is it came from men. So that's why we should not submit to them. This stand against the revelation of God, the truth of God. That is why Paul questions Colossians like this. If you died with Christ, do you submit to decrees of these men? Decrees of these regulations? Brothers and sisters, the commandments and teaching of men will corrupt the teachings of God. These regulations have come from the tradition of men, not from God, not from God. So you should not submit to these decrees. The third key mark of asceticism that proves they are opposed to Christ's teaching is it contains false wisdom. It contains false wisdom. Look at verse 23. "These are matters which have been, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement, severe treatment of the body." These matters have appearance of wisdom. What Paul is saying, the regulations have the appearance of wisdom. But look at end of verse 23. "But are of no value against fleshly indulgence." Even though the regulations have appearance of wisdom, they lack reality. Those are false wisdom. Even Paul himself said, to be sure, these matters have appearance of wisdom, but reality is something else. Some Jews believed that humility and worshipping of angels and practicing of ascetic severity led ultimately to possess the wisdom. If you are practicing these all things, you will get wisdom. That is why these false teachers are practicing worshipping angels and false humility. Paul says in this epistle that the true wisdom is to be found in Christ alone. But false teachers thinking something else, wisdom is found in worshipping angels, following these all things, self-abasement. But Paul is saying something else. The true wisdom is in Christ alone. Look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 3. It says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." That Bible is saying something else. You can seek, you can have wisdom only in Christ. But these false teachers are saying that you can find wisdom in following these all things, rules and regulations. Here we have two spheres that false teachers claimed the wisdom in. The first sphere that false teachers claimed the wisdom in is in self-made religion. Look at verse 23. It says, "These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion." Look at the word, in self-made religion. The meaning of the word self-made religion is by his own choice, by his own desire, by his own will, He worships what seems best. That is the idea. That is the meaning of that word. Do it yourself religion. And also we can say personal religion. The idea is they had freely chosen the cult in which they practice. They have chosen whom they should worship. Because of their desire, because of their choice, because of their free will, they decided whom they should worship. That is the meaning of the word self-made religion. Everyone chooses his favorite God and thing, man. Everyone chooses his own religion. Some worship idols, some worship nature, the trees, earth, sun and moon, and rivers and sea. They feel that, I think this is the best I can worship. This is called self-made religion. Some worship creatures, even snakes, even pigs, even cows, even different kind of animals. They think, they thought, that is their desire to best to worship. Some worship the dead grandfathers and mothers. Some worship different things. They choose whom they should worship. That is the idea. They are making their own religion. Own religion. Which they think the best. Some worship money. Some worship themselves. The many things. The people are making their own religion. Personal religion. That is the idea. But we know that context, the some of the false teachers have chosen to worship angels because they believe that they control the universe, finally their life. Look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and worship of the angels. So false teachers, they thought that we can worship angels. They have chosen. That is their best choice to worship. The Paul is condemning them. They believed that by worshipping angels, I have talked that last time. They believed that by worshipping angels, they could get wisdom. They thought that the appearance of wisdom in worshipping angels. But another thing we must remember, the self-made religion is connected to ascetic regulations. Because verse 23, it says, these are matters which have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. It's like they don't eat non-veg on Saturday. They don't eat non-veg on Monday based on that religion. That religion whom they are worshipping, so they have some rules and regulations. So they will connect these ascetic regulations in self-made religion. I don't know what they are practicing. Just I am giving example. It's like they are not eating. They are not touching some days because of self-made religion. Paul says, right, these are the matters which have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. This self-made religion is common in modern churches also, brothers and sisters. I know one church in AP. The people who go to the church walk around that church building more than 50 times or 100 times. So after that, they pour milk on the pastor's feet and after that, they drink. Because they have chosen their own religion, self-made religion. We are thinking this is happening outside of the church, but it is happening those who call themselves as Christians, those who call this is church. By God's grace, the church is not like that. But people are so mad, they think we can worship anybody else. They are attacking the deity of Christ. They are dishonoring Christ's deity. He deserves the worship. He deserves everything. But these people are making their own self-made religion. Brothers and sisters, who do you want to worship? You should worship only Christ who deserves our worship. Amen. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Within the church, they are making their own self-made religion. They are worshiping something else. Why are you coming to the church if you are not worshiping Christ? That is the question I want to ask. That is the question Paul asking. They are thinking there is a wisdom, appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. But there is no wisdom in that. There is a wisdom only in Christ. Amen. Paul proved that already. Amen. That's why he is building that theme. Chapter 1 onwards. He is focusing everything you will find only in Christ, not in anything else. The second sphere that false teachers claim the wisdom in, that is in false humility. Look at verse 23. It says, these matters which have to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion, the first sphere, the second one, self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. Look at the word self-abasement. The literal meaning of the Greek word for self-abasement is humility. Just humility. The idea is the humility of false teachers is not good anyway. So this is talking about false humility. This was mortification, self-denial. That is why NASB translated as self-abasement, even though it has meaning of humility. This word was used in Jewish and Christian literature to denote fasting and other bodily sickness and harshness. We know that food and drinks are avoided following some legalistic rules and regulations when they are fasting. This is called ascetic practices. I told that last time. The scholar says that these ascetic practices were effect for receiving visions of heavenly mysteries. If someone is practicing fasting, they will receive special revelation. That's why they follow these things. Because of these all things, they believe there are benefits. These false teachers believe that there is a wisdom in self-abasement. Even though they have appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, false humility. But it added another one, right? It says, teaching self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. Chapter 2, verse 23. But somebody is, they thought this is different one. But this is describing how one person can have false humility. That's why Net Bible translated like this. The false humility achieved by an unsparing treatment of the body. The self-abasement is false humility achieved by unsparing treatment of the body. They were having self-abasement, false humility, by severe treatment of the body. Means severe and harsh way of life. They are not respecting their bodies. They are denying their body. And almost punishing their bodies to get special revelation, to get visions. They felt there is a wisdom in that. Example I can give, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Men who forbid marriage, advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Verse 4, for everything created by God is good. Amen. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. So these are the examples. I was reading what are the practices of this self-denial, severe treatment of the body. Especially in middle age, they believe that they practice these things. Number one, fasting and limitation of sleep. They won't sleep properly. Then wandering in heat or cold. Willingly they sit under sun. Willingly they go in snow. So that they want to treat their body. They want to punish their body to be spiritual. Then other thing, wearing scratching clothing. If you wear those clothes, scratching only. Then enduring diseases, not going to hospital, not taking medicine. Maybe by faith healing will come. somehow, even though they have cancer, even though they have different things, they won't go to hospital, they endure diseases, they think there is a wisdom in that. Then work hardship, unnecessarily working hard, it is not useful. These are the things very important in spirituality of middle age. Just I was reading how these middle age people practices. Actually, brothers and sisters, these people want to show their spirituality. They want to show up to others why they are treating their body severe, to show others may see that. Even Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, 16 to 18, it says, whenever you fast, do not put on gloomy face as hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men. Did you see what Jesus is saying? These false teachers, those who treat their body badly, just they want to show up to others. They are doing everything so that others may are noticing or not. So that is their motivation. That is their motivation. Brothers and sisters, the decrease of men does not bring you to closer to God. Can't save you, can't make you holy. Only Christ will save you and sanctify you. Amen. So why Paul is bringing these things, when they are exalting these all things, so people will run to these all things, they will not go to Christ. But the fact is, the reality is, Christ can save you. Christ can sanctify you. Christ can help you to live a holy life. Christ only satisfy you. But these people are thinking that these things will help them. Even your works and your self-denial are not means of your salvation and your sanctification. Christ is the source. His word is the means for salvation and sanctification. Not these all things. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 says, for the bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So main thing is the godliness. Main thing is Christ, not following these all rules and regulations. The fourth key mark of asceticism that prove they are opposed to Christ's teaching is, it leads to the satisfaction of the flesh. It leads to the satisfaction of the flesh. That is the reason why we should not submit to them. Verse 23, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. The literal translation of this phrase is, without any value whatsoever. Paul states that the practice of these false teachers, though having appearance for wisdom in spare of self-made religion and false humility through severe treatment of the body, is of no value whatsoever. There is no value by practicing those things. We can say that these rules are of no value, rather they only serve to satisfy physical passions. The NET Bible translated like this, a wisdom with no true value, they in reality result in fleshly indulgence. They want to have satisfaction, they want to have holiness, the finally whatever they are practicing, they are committing sin. They are satisfying their own flesh. They are not satisfying Christ, they are not satisfying anybody, they are satisfying their own flesh. That is the result of following these all things. That's why we should not submit. All that was satisfied was flesh, even though they practiced worshipping angels, even though they are treating their body badly, but they are satisfying their flesh. One of the example I want to give, but it looks, listen to, very sad, but one pastor, he did not marry. Because he dedicated to Christ, he is ministering. Those who are going to that church, who became pastors, they thought, I should not marry.
because our pastor is, he did not get married, so I won't get married. Then they feel that not marrying is so spiritual. They are so near to God. So many men, those who are following him, they did not marry. So what happened? Because of that result, they are having homosexuality among them. Because they have a servant, like hostels. They are there, they are taking training, they are learning word of God, but they are not getting married, but they are in sin. This will happen. So that is the one example. If you treat your body, if you think, if you deny yourself, your pleasures, which God has given to you, then that will lead to sin, to do sin. So what produces holiness, brothers and sisters? Not these all things. Christ will produce us holiness. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. How people will become complete in Christ? We proclaim him. We proclaim him. When pastor is proclaiming Christ, when you are understanding who Christ is, you will become perfect. You will become holy. You have sanctified life when you are listening Christ alone. When you are following Christ alone, not these rules and regulations. People think different ways. If I am doing these all things, I can be so spiritual. No, you can be spiritual only in Christ, only through Christ. When you are near to him, you can overcome any sin. That's what Paul is saying. What is the use? By following these all things, the result in the satisfying their flesh. That is the sad thing, sad reality when they follow those things. Brothers and sisters, Christ produces holiness and his word produces holiness, not following all those decrees of men. Fasting does not produce holiness. Faith in Christ produces holiness. Following Christ produces sanctification, even satisfaction. So, the theme of this, the lesson we learned, don't submit to asceticism. The two reasons why we should not submit to it. Christ separated us from spiritual powers. Asceticism is opposed to Christ's teaching. That is the second reason why we should not submit. The final, I want to quote from Pastor John. He says like this, about this false teaching. These verses point out the futility of asceticism, which is the attempt to achieve holiness by rigorous self-neglect, self-denial, even self-infliction, since it focuses on temporal things which perish with the using. Asceticism is powerless to restrain sin or bring one to God, while reasonable care and discipline of one's body is of temporal value. It has no eternal value. The extremes of asceticism serves only to gratify the flesh. All too often, ascetics seek only to put on a public show of their supposed holiness. If it is that much dangerous, if it is that much useless, we should not follow those rules and regulations. We should not obey those false teachers. God may help us to follow Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us from false teachers, the man-made regulations and commandments. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us from false teachers. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give us understanding to follow you, to seek Christ. Lord, Christ is enough for us, Lord. We need nothing. Lord, help us, Lord, to love you, to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.